It is truly a blessing and an honor to see all of you here today as we celebrate the resurrection. Lent was long and it was hard for a lot of people, but we're here today to celebrate. And that's a good thing. We are very, very blessed. I want to share with you words from the Apostle Peter that we heard today, read by Jay so beautifully, from Acts chapter 10. And he said, they killed him by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him from the dead, and on the third day, and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. As I said, these are the words of the apostle, an eyewitness of all that Jesus did and an eyewitness of the empty tomb. He spoke these words to Cornelius, the centurion, at Caesarea. And that's the words that we heard this morning in Acts chapter 10. As a result of those words, Cornelius and his entire family came to Christ and were baptized. Wow. Peter had already received the Holy Spirit along with the other apostles on the day of Pentecost. And he didn't just speak as an ambassador for Jesus. And as I said, he was an eyewitness of the empty tomb. You heard the gospel that Deacon Bob read that said that he ran to the tomb. Wow. He also saw all the miracles and healings that Jesus gave to the people he ministered to. The truth is, my friends, the tomb is empty. Unlike the tombs of all the other great leaders who ever lived, the tomb of Jesus of Nazareth is empty because he lives. Today we celebrate him and the fact that he lived and died and lives again, so that we can do the same thing through faith in him. The women who went to the tomb on that Sunday morning certainly weren't expecting what they found. Wow. And they weren't saying to themselves, well, we've got the spices with us just in case that he's still dead, but let's hope he's alive again. They knew and had witnessed through their lives that dead people stayed dead. You'll agree with that. The 11 faithful but scared remaining apostles, led by Peter, certainly weren't expecting the news that they heard from these ladies. They were in the upper room hiding, as scripture tells us, that they were in fear of the Jews. The very fact that the women went to the tomb first and were the first eyewitnesses to the glorious resurrection of Jesus is a sign that this had to have taken place. Let me explain that. No one in the first century would have had women telling such a story, because women were not considered credible witnesses. Oh, how the times have changed, thank God, right? If this were a made-up account, the apostles would have been the first to go and tell the account of the empty tomb. But they were too terrified to leave the room. In today's Holy Gospel, we're told, when they, the women, came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, which is Mary, the Blessed Virgin, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. See, James is believed to be the brother of Jesus, and Jesus does appear to him later. But the apostles didn't believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself, what happened? Those aren't my words. Those are the words of Luke in today's Holy Gospel, chapter 24. The account of the resurrection is recorded in all four Gospels, and they refer to the empty tomb. But I got to tell you, surprise and confusion filled them with wonder and just a little bit of doubt. They'd been told time and time again by Jesus that the Son of Man must suffer things and be rejected by the elders chief priests and teachers of the law, and he must be killed, and on the third day he would be raised. Those are Jesus' words from Luke chapter 9, 22. He also told them in Mark chapter 8, 31, Mark 9, 31, and Matthew 16, 21. So this should not have been new news to the apostles, or fake news, if you will. But emotions were running wild, and confusion reigned. Think about it. How would you have felt if your leader died, was brutally tortured, and suddenly you're told he's alive again? Wow. As a matter of fact, there was another eyewitness to the empty tomb, and that was the Apostle John, who went along with Peter. And in his gospel, he writes this: they still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. John chapter 20, verse 9. Now we know, as recorded in that very same chapter of John's gospel, that later that same evening, Jesus appeared to those in the upper room, all except Thomas, in that locked upper room. And he wrote this: on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you. Shalom." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed with what they saw. That's John chapter 20, verses 19 and 20. Jesus was not done in letting people know that he was indeed alive. In Luke's gospel, right after today's holy gospel from chapter 24, an amazing encounter took place. Listen to these words. It'll blow you away. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And they talked and discussed these things with each other. Jesus himself came and walked among them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem, and do you not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" Jesus asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed, before God and all people. The chief priests and the rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they'd seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb, found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Along the time that they were walking towards Emmaus, Jesus opened their minds to all that took place was the fulfillment of Scripture through him. But they still didn't recognize Jesus. And it wasn't until they sat down to eat. Listen to these words. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the Scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together. They left immediately to return to the upper room to join the others. After that, Jesus appeared in that upper room. I want you to try to put yourself in the shoes of the apostles and how you might have felt, the other disciples, knowing that Jesus had been beaten, tortured to near death, and then carried his cross all the way uphill to this place called Golgotha, the skull, where he was crucified and then buried in a borrowed tomb. Emotions must have been raw. And to suddenly hear of his rising from the dead, can you just imagine your own feelings? I know I would be totally confused and in awe. But then to witness him standing in front of you, alive, and the only evidence of Friday were the nail scars in his hand and feet, and the pierced side from the soldier's lance. He was and is alive today. His grave is empty. Like many miracles in which Jesus healed many, his appearance to his believers were for the same purpose. Jesus didn't heal people to prove who he was. Or he didn't raise people from the dead to prove who he was. He didn't calm the storm or feed the multitude to prove who he was. He did those things to heal the hearts of those who received the miracle or witnessed them. Jesus appeared to those believers to heal the hearts and to increase their faith. The Apostle Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 through 8. Listen to this. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried, he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and then he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. Why would he appear to James? James was his brother. I mentioned earlier Mary, the mother of James. He, like his other brothers, ridiculed Jesus and said, "You can't be who you say you are." And they didn't believe. It was like they had blinders on. Jesus appeared to him, and then James became the head of the first bishop of the Jerusalem church. I just wanted to share that with you. It's important to know that non-believers can and should believe in Jesus. And I want to just share with you that there can be no doubt that Jesus Christ walked out of his tomb. As I said before, his tomb is empty. All of the other religious or political leaders who are still in theirs, they're still dead. Jesus of Nazareth is alive. And he wants you to have no doubt. No doubt that he lives. No doubt that he died for your and my sins to be forgiven. No doubt that you and I as believers can have eternal life with him. No doubt that he wants us to share with others his gospel and what he's done for us. And no doubt that he loves you like no one else. And he will come again to take you home. The Apostle John ended his 20th chapter of his gospel by writing this. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. There is no other way to heaven than through Jesus. The way, the truth, and the life. My friends, he lives. And of that, I truly believe that there can be no doubt. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.